Welcome to the Radio Bible Course. We're studying Galatians chapter 2. In verse 1, he talks about how after 14 years, he went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with him. And we pointed out that one view is that he's referring to the council meeting in Jerusalem, recorded in Acts chapter 15. And in yesterday's program, we pointed out what the cause of that meeting was. It's expressed in verse 1 of that chapter. Some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brethren, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. I'm interested in the fact that even Paul and Barnabas, who were noted teachers, skillful teachers, could not convince those Jewish teachers that the law was not necessary for salvation. Now, so the church sent them to Jerusalem, and when they got there, they had a meeting. And Peter responded to the charge of Acts chapter 15:5, which says, "But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, 'It is necessary to circumcise them,'" referring to Gentiles, "and to charge them to keep the law of Moses." Well, the apostles and elders were gathered together to consider this matter, and after there had been much debate, Peter rose and said to them, "Brethren, you know that in the early days God made choice among you that by my mouth a Gentile should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, but cleansed their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why do you make trial of God by putting a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we shall be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." Well, following that, there was another statement made, we can call it a conclusion, by the Apostle James. And James said in verse 19, "Therefore my judgment is this, that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from the pollutions of idols, and from unchastity, and from what is strangled, and from blood. For from early generations Moses has had in every city those who preach him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues." Well, Paul won the battle for grace salvation. Circumcision was for the Jews, and the law was for the Jews. But the Gentiles were not required to be circumcised, nor to live under the law. That was the conclusion of the apostles and the Holy Spirit. The conclusion of the meeting in Jerusalem in Acts 15, the most important theological meeting ever held in the early church. Do you go to a church that teaches that Christians ought to live by the law of Moses? If so, you are hearing things contrary to what the apostles concluded, and it was so convincing to them that they sent letters to all of the churches. We read that in verse 22. They wanted the Christians in the churches to know that both circumcision and the law of Moses were not to be a part of the Christian faith. It says in verse 22 of Acts 15, "Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren, with the following letter." Here's the letter. "The brethren, both the apostles and the elders, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greeting. Since we have heard that some persons from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instructions, it has seemed good to us, having come to one accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth, for it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what is strangled, and from unchastity. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. Well, that's an example of a New Testament letter, and it spelled out the conclusion of the apostles and the elders and the church in Jerusalem there about 50 A.D. And it settled once for all that the law and circumcision had nothing to do with the Christian faith. Some people refuse to accept this, and they are going contrary to the teaching of the apostles appointed by Jesus Christ. Think of this. If the law of Moses couldn't save a person, nor could circumcision save a person, then it certainly couldn't help him as a Christian. Furthermore, the law of Moses had been abolished. Abolished, you say? Yes, Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that Jesus Christ abolished the law of commandments in his own body on the cross. Because he wanted to make a new man. He was done with Israel. Israel had rejected its king. And now Jesus is working on something else. He said it in Matthew chapter 16, I will build my church. Israel was out of the picture. And since that day, God has been working, calling Jews and Gentiles into a new body, creating a new man, and he has put his spirit in those who believe. In the opening verses of Galatians chapter 2, Paul tells how he went up by revelation and laid before them, referring to the apostles, but privately before those who were of repute, the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, lest somehow I should be running or had run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not compelled to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Taking Titus to Jerusalem was a test case. Titus had never been circumcised. He was a Greek. What would the apostles do about this man? He's a believer in Jesus Christ. Will they require him to be circumcised? Well, Paul's point is, I'm going to test them all. And we'll find out whether circumcision is necessary for salvation or not. Well, he took Titus with him, and his point here is that Christ's apostles did not insist on circumcising Titus, and this action confirmed that no rite helps one to be saved, not even the rite given to Abraham. Oh, there are rituals in the Bible, but they aren't given for salvation. Neither baptism, nor the Lord's Supper, nor circumcision. Something outward cannot save, but faith in Christ does save. Paul tells us here in these opening verses of chapter 2 in Galatians, he said, I laid before them. Paul told them what he had preached. He respected their evaluation. He didn't hide it. He didn't sneak it around and say things that he was ashamed to admit to. If they preach different gospels, then somebody was wrong. Either Paul was wrong or the apostles were wrong. Paul's gospel was very different from what was being preached by some Jews in Galatia. His gospel was free of the legal requirements of those false brethren, and it was contrary to their gospel. Now in verse 2, he says he met privately with the apostles. What for? Well, to set the record straight. Jews had accused him of telling Jews to forsake the law of Moses. No, he said the law could not set one free. He didn't tell Jews to forsake the law of Moses. He told them it couldn't save them, but he didn't tell them to forsake it. After all, they were Jews, and they were under the law, and it wouldn't do any good to forsake the law. Paul's gospel was concerned with what they should do. They should believe in Jesus Christ, and once they did, they would come under a new law. The new commandment of Jesus Christ expressed clearly in John chapter 13, where on the night before he was crucified, Jesus said to his chosen apostles, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." So the meeting that Paul had with these apostles privately gave the apostles Paul's side of the controversy before they went into the big meeting. And I can hear those false brethren piously reasoning and saying something like this, "But God gave us this law. It's inspired. How can you expect to be blessed and be the seed of Abraham without the circumcision which God gave to Abraham? And how can you ever expect to get along with God if you don't follow the laws which God gave through Moses?" Well, what they didn't point out is that that law was given through Moses to Israel and to no one else. And it was given only until the seed of Abraham should come. They said nothing against Jesus, these false brethren. If they had, that would have alerted those unsuspecting young Christians to depart from those Jewish teachers. And those false brethren admitted that men needed to be saved, because in Acts chapter 15, 1 and 5, they said, "Unless they are circumcised, they cannot be saved." So they at least admitted that men needed salvation, and they used the Word of God to support their doctrine of bondage. But so do the cults even today. It is said that you can prove anything by the Bible, and I believe it. I've seen enough examples of people proving strange things by the Bible. But you can't prove anything by the Bible if you use passages in their context. And you can't prove anything if you define words properly as the writer intended them to be used. Now, verse plucking is a great sin among Christians. And by that I mean going anywhere in the Bible and plucking a verse out of here and out of there, ignoring the context and ignoring the meaning that the writer intended. That's how people prove most everything by the Bible. And of course they pervert the truth when they do it. Did you know that the word grace appears in the New Testament 155 times? I recently had a woman come to the door and tell me that grace wasn't very important. Friends, it's the way God saves people today, by grace through faith. Well, the Radio Bible Course has published a 30-page booklet just so people can understand the importance of grace. You'll want to get your copy. Write for it today. Send your letter to the Radio Bible Course. Ask for the free grace booklet. Don't send money. It's free. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.